Hello. Thank you for tuning into the For What For Who podcast. My name is Courtney Croucher, and I'm really excited to have you here. I've always been obsessed with self-development and pop culture and everything that influences how we live our lives, which is why we're here today, because I believe that with everything you do, every decision you make, for what, for who, my intention is for this to be a resource for people who want to have better relationships, health, professional growth, balance in your lives, and self-love. Subscribe to hear my journey along with special guests every Monday for a blunt approach to living life unapologetically on your terms. Thank you for tuning in and enjoy the episode. Hello, hello, friends. Welcome back to the podcast. Thank you for joining into another episode and happy Monday. I don't know if happy Monday is a sentence because I don't think they coexist, but happy Monday anyways. I hope you're all doing well. It's April. Can't believe it. Mid-April. Holy fuck. How did we get here? I don't even know who I am anymore. I don't know what my name is. I am so tired. I'm actually have a flight later today and I'm running on such little sleep and the time difference and all of that. It's just such a nightmare. So I kind of love traveling, but I hate traveling. Like I love going to different places, but I hate traveling and flying places and going to the airport. It's just brutal. And this trip is a little bit more, it's less leisurely, a little bit more necessary. So it is what it is, but I have just been going through some personal stuff recently, and it's just been a lot. So if you can hear it in my tone, just know that that's there, and, you know, thanks for being compassionate and continuing to listen to the podcast. I'm trying to keep moving on and continue to talk about what I'm passionate about. Now, I think I'm going to take it a little strategic slut-esque today because I was inspired by Nikki Glaser's comedy show last night. I saw Girls Gotta Eat, their live show last weekend, and then I saw Nikki Glaser last night, both at the Vogue Theater downtown Vancouver, and both were amazing and obviously a lot about sex, and it got me thinking about why I used to love talking about that subject so much and feminism and all of those things. And I feel like I haven't had many conversations around these topics in a while because one, not having sex, two, haven't been dating, and three, all of my friends are either like so single and they're not getting laid or they're happily in a long-term relationship. There's not a lot of hoeing happening, and including myself. So I feel like these topics just haven't been top of mind, but I was listening to a TikTok the other day that got me thinking about this subject that I've covered on the podcast before when it was previously under the name Strategic Slut. If you're new here, I used to run this podcast called Strategic Slut. It was a feminist and love, sex, and dating podcast, and then has been later rebranded to For What For Who due to many different things. But I wanted to talk about this because I think it's a subject that a lot of women get really stuck on and is actually super problematic in so many different facets. So what I'm going to talk about today is, does body count matter? And I'm just going to start off the episode with like, no, it does not. And I'm going to explain why, because I have such young memories of this subject being brought to light and being already full of shame and full of slut-shaming, like, language that is so gendered. It wasn't against men, it was always against women. And obviously in a very binary sense, of course. And we're going to talk about that as well, because it's actually super exclusionary of anyone else that doesn't fall outside of the binary box. So let's start off with what is body count for those of you who don't know. So sometimes this is also referred to as kill count or body count. This is in reference to the amount of people you've slept with, the number of people. Now, if you look at this on Urban Dictionary, this is what it says. What's really interesting to me about this definition as well is that we don't know how to define what sex is in our society, because it's really in reference to penis and vagina, you know, penetrative sex like that. But doesn't reference anything else. And what I've always thought was interesting, even as like a young kid, and I didn't have the language to explain it until I went to school for media and women's studies and talked a lot about these different nuances in the language around sex and how we learn about it
and the lack of sexual education. And if we have had sexual education, it's usually under certain umbrellas that is very shameful, religion based, and also like health based, but with that underlying fear factor. So when it comes to the number of people we've slept with, it typically excludes the ideal of oral sex as sex, the idea of like any hanky panky. I remember my mom telling me that when I was younger, when I had a boy over one time, and she's like, no hanky panky. And I was like, what the fuck did you just say to me, Barbara? Hanky panky. It still makes me laugh. But that's kind of interesting already, because if we think of how many people you've personally had sex with, you've probably counting how many people you like did the full deed with, right? In our minds, what the full deed is full penetration, like that kind of sex. I personally never grew up thinking that like blowjobs, hand jobs, even making out or any of that would be included in sexual partners. So I guess this is very dependent on how you were raised. Now, I would say that the majority of people I've spoken to, the numerous conversations I've had, and the studies that I've taken in school show that people who count sexual partners count as like the ones that they've had penetrative sex with, not anything else, right? So this is what's really interesting, because we have a culture obsessed with objectifying especially women at a young age. Not even women yet, they're girls, right? We're objectifying young women. And then we have this double standard where we're objectifying them as sexual objects, but then judging them when they have a quote unquote high body count. And there is so much slut shame embedded in the way that we talk about body count. And the reason it matters is because of the way that it can fuck up your reputation. It can mess up your like self-worth, the way that others view you, like all of those things, right? Which I guess is reputation, but I meant to say is like the value that you hold to different social circles. And this obviously depends on where you live, who your circle is, all of that. But like for a lot of people, we're not having these sex positive conversations, especially in schools or anything like that. And they're trying to ban so many terms, especially like the word gay in certain states. And it's all bullshit because, well, we won't even get into that. That's a whole other subject. But it's really interesting how we are obsessed with this, but yet then shame people. And I remember having a very specific situation in university where I was seeing this guy. He was a toxic motherfucker. I can't believe I was like on and off with him for like 2 years. He was the worst. But he asked me how many people I'd had sex with. And at the time I was keeping a running tab on my phone, on the notes app, you know, and I told him how many. And he was like judgmental. And I was like, I'm sorry, what? Like at this point, we've been sleeping together for a while. So it's kind of funny how he suddenly was like shocked by this number when one, he said it didn't matter before I had told him. I had gotten that like, you know, you're not going to judge me or laugh at me, right? And also, we'd already been sleeping together, aka his name's on the fucking list. He's part of this body count. And I thought it was so double standard because his was like, well, double mine, maybe even triple mine. And he was only a couple years older than me, but that was fine. And no one's calling him a fucking whore. So what the hell, right? And it was so shameful in my mind. And I remember feeling so icky about myself and feeling so like, oh my God, I'm just like the worst. Now, that's not fair because up until this point, I didn't really feel bad about it. I mean, I think a lot of us internalize a lot of things, especially around shame around sex. But I hadn't like had someone verbally make me feel so uncomfortable about this, especially someone that I thought I trusted and someone that I've actually experienced sexual experiences with as well. So it was like, what the fuck? And he also continued to sleep with me after that. So that's what like was kind of the funny thing on top of that was like, okay, so you're gonna shame me but then continue to have sex with me because it benefits you. Like, okay, he was a piece of shit if I haven't stated that already. But on TikTok, I was reading the comments of this one video, and I can't even remember exactly what it was in reference to, but it said something about body count. And I've heard, you know, the different clips of misogynistic assholes who have podcasts who want to talk about high value women and talk about how they only have three partners in their life. Like all of these stupid standards, double standards that they hold, because as if a woman's value and worth is tied to how many people she's had sex with. And also, like, even if she has had a lot of partners, in my logical mind, that means she's had a lot more experience, which means that she's more likely to know what she likes and wants in the bedroom. Do you know the statistics of how many women in previous decades have waited so long to have their first orgasm due to the lack of experience and the lack of sex ed and the really shameful language around female masturbation? So not only were young girls told to not learn about it, but we're told only fearful things of, you know, if you have sex, you will have chlamydia or whatever type of STI. And if you watch Mean Girls, if you have sex, you will get pregnant and you will die. Like, there's been no in between. And then in addition to that, the porn industry is historically made for men. I think we're starting to see, you know, a feminist movement within the porn industry, but that is problematic and has so many other layers to it. So we have women here who are trying to navigate their sexuality, and the kind of underlying thing is that you're supposed to please the man. But if the woman doesn't know how to do that due to the lack of experience, then is it really is it really beneficial to the man? Like, when we think about this logically, right, it's kind of stupid and it's ironic that we shouldn't have any experience, but we're also expected to be fucking phenomenal in the bedroom. And so when it comes into the opposite side, men who've slept around a lot, they might be called fuckboys, they might be called douchebags, you know, whatever, ladies' man, but they're not tied to this horrible, horrible, horrible thing, right? Women, when they're, like, if you, oh my God, I'm just watching Pamela and Tommy now. I know I'm late on the game, but I was thinking about this, and I was like, Pamela Anderson went through fucking hell when her sex tape got leaked, and she was, like, married and love, and, you know, wasn't consensual, obviously, for that sex tape to get out. Same thing with Kim Kardashian. She had a sex tape with Ray J. And people are going to say what they want to say about her and her sex success and her fame. I said sex instead of success. Her success and her fame. But either way, these are women who are having sex with partners who never thought that the tape would go out to the public. And suddenly the whole world has watched them have sex. Now, probably feels very violating, but also they've been slut-shamed. So not only the people that are leaking it are thinking it's funny or whatever, but then going on to, like, the same people who are watching it are the same people who are judging the individual, but for the woman, not the man. And it's interesting how that happens, right? Throughout our history and the way that we look at these different instances. I don't think anything's really changed. Like, it's kind of interesting. I want to say we've progressed, and we have in some ways, but other ways, not so much. And, you know, I was hearing Nikki Glaser talk about her different ideas with feminist and sex and all of that at her comedy show last night. And she was talking about a really great point about how you still have to please the male gaze. You know, you have to look feminine. You have to have this certain act if you really want to have a certain outcome. And although it's fucking annoying, it's a harsh reality. And I think it's mostly because men are wrapped up in it too, and they're not even aware of it or conscious of it. So it just, like, is what it is in their minds. And I don't think that this is, like, something where it's like, fuck men. I mean, you know how I feel about that. But I think that they're, if you can't know better, you don't do better. But I think that it is the responsibility of men to kind of start to inform themselves and see how women might be negatively impacted by these double standards. And when we think of the way that, like, even women's careers, when if they have, like, nudes that are leaked or whatever, they can be, like, fired from their jobs, where there's a lot more grace given to men. Now, I know that this isn't all about, like, sex tapes and nudes and all of that, but it still is under the same umbrella, because really there's that underlying slut shame that's, like, so much more impactful for women and their livelihoods rather than for men. Now, with body count, what I find is kind of interesting with like the idea of sex. So if we think of the idea of sex as only penetration with like dick and vagina, then what is lesbian sex? What is gay sex? Like, what does that mean? Does that count? Because if we actually think of like virginity, the idea of virginity is a woman's hymen being popped by penetration. So if that's not necessarily done, then is a lesbian just forever a virgin? Most of you listening are probably thinking, well, no. And it's like, well, but exactly, that's the point, right? So the way that we even count sexual partners is already skewed under a certain lens, and that's already problematic in itself. Then how it impacts us is, you know, additional layers to the matter. So in my mind, when I think of body count in my own personal experience, you know, I had a lot of these internalized thoughts of slut shame, and just like, I think overall, I understood that men were allowed to have higher body counts than women, but really what I didn't have the language of what that looked like until I really went through this in school. But in my own personal life and dating life, it's really interesting when I hear things said about like, well, she sleeps around a lot. And I'm like, okay, so what does that mean to you? And they're like, well, da, da, da. It's like, so do you feel like you can't trust her, or that she's no longer worthy because she, quote unquote, sleeps around a lot? Like, let's dive into that a little bit further, because what are we really saying? Because a lot of times when I hear that, it's because you have this idea that she's less valuable because she has a lot of sex. And how do you know she has a lot of sex? Does she tell you, or do you just have rumors in your mind about her? That's a whole other game too, right? There's so many fucking layers. And so when I observe this idea of body count, like, I don't even ask the question anymore. When I was younger, I used to ask people, and we used to have conversations like with friends and when I was dating people, things like that. But I don't even go there anymore because I don't care. It's not relevant. And I think also when you start to like someone, no matter who you are and how well-versed your sexual education is, I think that jealousy comes up. It's human nature of when you think of your partner sleeping with anybody else. It's not even about them having a high body count or low body count. It's the fact that they've been with anyone else but you, right? That is human nature to be a little jealous. Now, you can still be like, you can be in an open relationship and still feel a little bit jealousy, right? Of course, that's normal. So when it comes to the idea of having that conversation, to me, it's irrelevant, because to me, it's really trying to like start something that most of us aren't even intentionally trying to start. I think the better questions are, when is the last time you have gotten tested for STIs? Are you free of any STIs? I would not say clean, because clean also perpetuates this idea that if someone does have an STI, that they are dirty or somehow less worthy as well, which I don't love that. So we're going to move on from that language. I think language really matters there. And ask that question though, like, when's the last time are you free of any STIs? That's a good question, because not only are you protecting their health, but also yourself. That is completely valid when you're having sex with somebody or getting in a relationship with them or whatever it may be. Now, I think if you're really wanting to wonder how much experience they had, the better question is, so how would you describe your sexual experiences? Like, do you feel like you're well-versed in your sexual experiences? Do you feel like there's a lot of things that you're still wanting to try? Like, that to me is a more productive conversation, because then you're getting into the conversation of what type of kinks that they have. Do they have any? Have they explored anything? Have they just been having vanilla sex their whole time? Like, what's going on there, right? I think that's way more important, because if you think about it, you can have someone who's literally had sex with one partner and they could have the nastiest sex life, like the most wild BDSM crazy shit, 50 Shades of Grey, okay? Which 50 Shades of Grey isn't that kinky, but like, if you think of just overall kinky sex, you could have someone who's literally had one partner and has had crazy experiences. And then you can have other people, which statistically it shows that the people who have had a lot of like casual sex don't actually have a ton of like fulfilling experiences, because it's typically under the influence. It's typically a one-timer. So you're not even getting to learn one another's bodies and having like this experimental experience. It's more of like, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. You know what I mean? So, and also with the statistics, orgasms for men are much higher for than for women, which is astounding and unfortunate. So there's just like a very large disconnect there. Also, in addition to like the STI conversation, you can have sex with one person and catch something. Like, it's not the fact that you've had a lot of sex. Obviously, you're more likely to catch something if you have multiple partners, but you can literally have sex with one person and have something, whatever it may be, whether it's lifelong or not. You can have that risk. So I think it's really important to question how we think about sex and what we think of values and how we learned about sex, because a lot of the time it's not us trying to be intentionally like shameful. I think it's really how we learned about it and how fucked up our society has made us when we approach these conversations. And it kind of makes me scared for the younger generation if we haven't like opened this door for this conversation, because I don't want girls that were like, when I was in high school, I don't want girls to have that repeated experience of like everyone talking about it. And if you're not experienced, you feel like a fucking prude. And if you are experienced, you feel like a whore. There's like no in between. You literally don't have that in between unless you're like dating one of the football guys and that's like your long-term relationship and you know that you fuck kind of thing. And the whole school knows it, but because you're fucking the quarterback, it's fine, right? I feel like there's like unspoken rules in the high school. Well, I think of Euphoria, actually. The way that Cassie was slut-shamed so bad in season one, then season two, she, you know, fucked the wrong guy and she slut-shamed even further. But what's even worse about that is that the betrayal with her best friend, which obviously makes sense. We don't like Cassie in this house. I'm Team Maddie as well. However, I think the treatment that she received in season one was unwarranted. Sorry, I'm getting on a bit of a tangent about pop culture, as I do. But I think if we want better relationships and better relationships with ourselves when it comes to sexuality and understanding the world better, we need to observe how we speak about things and how damaging it can be. And I think that this subject specifically has so many nuances to it and so many layers that can be confusing and a lot to unravel. But at its core, a lot of the times when we're having these conversations, it's coming from curiosity, I believe. Like, I don't believe people are intentionally trying to start a fight with these conversations. It's like just curious. I'm like, so how many people have you fucked? I don't know. I fucked this many people. How many have you fucked? No way, right? It shouldn't be so layered, but it is. And it depends on who you talk to. And sometimes, like, I've had conversations with girlfriends where we have that conversation like, you've had a lot of sex? Cool. You haven't had a lot of sex? No problem. Do you want to have a lot of sex? Yeah, cool. How can I help you on this journey? Right? Like, there, it doesn't have to be a really negative thing, but for a lot of the time, I would argue it is. And I think we need to observe what we're really wanting out of those conversations and what our biases around sex and shame and being a hoe, all of that looks like, because everyone's saying, you know, she's for the streets. And it's like, what does that really mean? Are you saying that as a joke? Are you saying that with a layered idea about how many people she's had sex with and what she's doing with her body? Because it really doesn't matter what she does with her body as long as she's okay with it. And how do you know what she does with her body? There are a lot of girls I know who have, they perceive this idea that they're like, I don't know, maybe dating a lot, but then they're like not even having sex. They're just like going on a lot of dates. So are they sluts? No, but some people view them as. And then I know other girls who have sex with every single person they meet. Are they any less worthy? Also, no, they just do it in silence. Like, it's kind of ironic when we think about it, right? So what I suggest for people is to question why they even want to have that conversation. Reflect on your own of what body count means to you. And, you know, if you could really tally up how many people you've had sex with versus other sexual activities with, you know, is there an imbalance? Like, I went to a Catholic school in elementary and then the first 2 years of high school. And I think about those years, and I knew so many girls who were just given blowjobs left and right because they didn't want to give up their virginity, because that's wrong. But, like, no one said anything about blowjobs, which I thought was kind of funny, right? Like, they're like, okay, I'm still a virgin, but I've blown half the universe or half the high school, which I think is very funny. Do I think it's a little young? Like, I think, yeah. Like, I think I was young. I was 17 when I had sex for the first time. And when I think about it, I'm like, wow, I was pretty young. But, like, kids are even having sex even younger now. And I think it's because so many other because we're so uneducated about it, it feels so daunting that it's like, whatever, let's just get it over with and get experience. And that curiosity is there. So it's just like, whatever. But it can actually, there's like so many things there, right? And it's like not meant to be scary. It's meant to be a beautiful thing. But if we're not educating people properly, then it can become a very harmful thing. And obviously there are those risks of pregnancy and STIs and all of those things, but also just how you feel about yourself. Like when you start having sex at a young age, you're exposing yourself to the insecurities of being naked in front of somebody, you know, whether you're good, quote unquote, in bed or not, the emotional attachment that you can form because of the oxytocin that's released when you're having sex with somebody. Like, there's so many things that happen when we start to have sex. And so when we start to get all caught up in the numbers of how many people that's happened with, like, oh my God, what is that movie? There's a movie about this. I'm going to go look it up because I cannot think of the name. It's called What's Your Number? There it is. It's Anna Faris. And the plot is that Allie Darling, which is Anna Faris, is realizing she's a little lost in her life. Her latest romance has just fizzled out and she's been fired from her marketing job. Then she reads an eye-opening magazine article that warns that 96% of women who have been with 20 or more lovers are unlikely to find a husband. Determined to turn her life around and prove the article wrong, Allie embarks on a mission to find the perfect mate among her numerous ex-boyfriends. This is from 2011. Now, what's funny about this is because Chris Evans was in it, like, I fucking loved this movie back in the day. Now I look back at it and fully fucking cringe, because not only is the idea problematic, but that's still that same narrative that, oh my God, if I don't have a husband, I might die. Like, kill me. It's so outdated and it's like kind of gross when I think about it, but I loved that movie back in the day. I really did. And when you think about, okay, if you lined up every person that you've slept with in a room, would you want to date any of them again? Because honestly, there's probably only two on my list that I would probably consider. The rest, no, absolutely not. No, that's why they're exes. Like, duh. And that's so harmful of like realizing that. Imagine being that character and being like, oh my God, I have to circle back to every single person I've slept with to see if they're actually my future husband. Like, no, if they were your husband, they would have married you when you were together. Like, I don't know that that's all meant to be, you know? So it's so funny reminiscing on that movie because I used to just love it. I've seen it multiple times. Oh my God, those early 2000s, like rom-com type of movies were my shit, but they had a lot of problematic narratives and it was like Disney 2.0. Like, take Disney fairy tales but then sell them to an older audience that have grown out from, like, they've grown up and evolved beyond the Disney fairy tales, so we feed them 2000s rom-coms. The one other thing that I wanted to talk about before I head off this podcast is when you're having a conversation with your future partner about body count, if you are, and you want to really just learn about their levels of experience I would just ask about their levels of experience. Now, I know I touched on this earlier, but I really want to hone this in about, like, ask what they've done. Have you ever tried XYZ? I think that's a good indicator of how experienced somebody has been, because like I said earlier, you could have 100 partners and literally have never done anything more than missionary, which, like, that's pretty sad. But no, I shouldn't be shameful. That just sounds like really boring sex. But, you know, I think if you're really wanting to get into a good conversation, asking, like, have you done anal? Do you want to do anal? No, not for me. Great. Not for me either. Let's move on. Next activity. Like, just explore the different options. If you don't know the options, Google them. Like, things to try in bed. Like, there's a lot to try. And if that's your motive, great. Any other reason you're asking is probably, I'm going to guess 9 times out of 10, some sort of curiosity that's informed by some of the ideas and beliefs that you have around sex. Now, I'm not a religious person, so whatever I say, if you're religious and you find this offensive, cool. Take what you want, leave what you don't. It's not my job here to offend anyone. This is just my personal experience and based on the studies I had in university and what I see in day to day and social media, pop culture, all of that. I think it's really crucial to just ask ourselves what we want for a partner, because I think really that's all that matters. But also looking at that broader scheme of, like, how is a woman's reputation affected if she's fucked 50 guys? Think about it, right? Now, what is the same reputation for a man if he's fucked 50 women? And do you agree with that? Like, now that you're thinking about it and you're thinking, how would that play out in reality? The reality you know, because of course we can only speak from experiences and what we know. How would that make you feel? Would you find that to be right or truthful? Or would you find that to be actually really unfair? Like, think about it for a second and let yourself ponder it. Ask your friends and start to have those conversations, because I think it's really interesting. And I think the only way that we can kind of really inform our true decisions and our true beliefs and all of that is based on that critical thinking. And I mean, that's why we're here, right? For what? For who? And what I really love about investigating these topics is the cool things that we can come out of it, of like any insecurities or, oh my God, I felt that way too. And I didn't realize that there was language around it. I didn't realize that there's like a whole societal construct that has made me feel this way. Like, I love having conversations like that with people. And I think it's really empowering, and it's the only way for anything to change as well. So I hope you guys enjoyed this more rated R version of For What For Who. I haven't talked about sex a lot since I rebranded, so here it is. I don't know if my family's listening. If you are, that's life. Love you so much. As always, guys, you can follow me on Instagram at the Not So Average Betch and For What For Who podcast. And thank you so much for joining. I would love if you followed, rate, subscribe, do all the things, and share this with a friend. Maybe not on the stories, because it's a little more rated R, but you could share it with a friend privately, DM them, send it to a message, whatever. And yeah, thank you so much for listening. As always, guys, love yourself, love others, and wash your fucking hands. I'll see you next Monday.